Joining us on the line is the drummer for the band Muse, Dominic Howard. Hello, Dom.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Yourself?
Very good, very good. Just hanging out, sitting outside in the sunshine in San Diego right now.
Yeah, you've got a big show at the Staples Center.
That's true. Yeah, that's coming up.
Excellent. Well, we are looking forward for Muse to coming back to Charlottesville, this time headlining your own show at John Paul Jones Arena along with Metric Wednesday, October 27th. Last time you were in town, you had opening duties for this little act known as U2. What we're going to do is I actually put out a feeler for some big fans of the radio station that are even bigger fans of Muse, and we're going to get to some of their questions, but first some of my own, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Muse, you guys have been constantly touring, even before the album The Resistance came out, circling the globe. Have you reached that point of just jaded traveler, or is it still kind of novel to you?
No, we're not too jaded at the moment, you know. I think, you know, give it another 10 years before we get fully jaded, but it's still exciting touring. We still enjoy it a great deal. I mean, you know, I guess the downside is you never really get enough time in one city to actually hang out and see what's going on. But the more times you go back, you gradually learn more and more about that place. So it's great, you know, we still feel like we're going to loads of new places, and coming over here and touring the States so much, you know, this still feels like a pretty new place for us, so it's still exciting.
The Muse concert experience is now just such a gigantic, epic spectacle. When the three of you first started playing together in college years ago, in today's reality of how big Muse is, was that ever a part of your dreams?
Well, I think we always, you know, we always had huge ambition and kind of believe that we could take it further. But I imagine if someone turned up in our school common room when we were like 17 and told us about, you know, where music and learning about music and pushing yourselves. So that was always a big deal for us to, yeah, just move forward and evolve the whole time. But I mean, I remember being at like Reading Festival when I was 16 and seeing like the Chili Peppers and Rage Against the Machine play, and I was just thinking, my God, that's amazing. The stage looks so big, but just something in the back of my mind was telling me that one day I was going to play there or play on that stage. So I guess that's, yeah, just aspirations, I suppose, or ambitions.
It's now just, you know, so gigantic, and the spectacle that you guys put on is absolutely triumphant. Matt Bellamy was quoted in an NME article recently that he considered playing smaller venues after the upcoming Wembley shows. Is this even realistic now?
Well, the stage, I think, needs to be just a certain size just to get all our gear on, you know? So it does rule out a couple of places. But, I mean, you know, playing much smaller shows is cool. It's totally cool. It depends on the environment. It depends on what we want to do or the kind of music I'd like to play in that environment. I mean, we've often toyed with the idea of, like, jacking in all the big stuff and touring like jazz clubs that, you know, and you just kind of stay in one place for a few days and like do a few nice casual shows and like a couple of sets a night, you know.
Has it ever come across your head that, you know, the fans, of course, are going to clamor for you guys anytime you announce a show? You're going to have to do things like rename the band at different shows, different nights, just to even do that.
I know, yes. I mean, but that kind of, the idea of doing something like that sounds cool, but really,
it's,
we're all honest, you know, we've been enjoying doing the big spectacle so much recently, and particularly with the last stadium shows that we just did in England and around Europe. I mean, they've just been so amazing, and you know, playing to 70,000 or 80,000 people is just such a mind-blowing experience, you know, and we really kind of enjoy putting on a big show and trying to make it as theatrical and ambitious as possible as well, you know, to hopefully, you know, do something that people are going to totally enjoy and have a great time. So, I mean, we're really, really enjoying that concept at the moment. So we'll see what happens.
Well, you're definitely doing that many times over. The first live experience I ever got with you guys was way before I actually got to see it, but the live Harp album and just the audio presence of alone is like, wow, this is big. I mean, this is a big sound from three guys putting on an epic concert experience. So hats off to you. It's just wonderful, wonderful stuff.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. Late for Work on WNRN. That is Muse, a live recording of Knights of Sidonia. If you're joining us now, we're speaking with Dominic Howard, drummer for Muse, again in town Wednesday, October 27th at John Paul Jones Arena with Metric. So Dominic, we again asked some of the fans of the band, what would they like to ask you if given the opportunity? A big fan of yours named Shawnee, who is... Well, she's married to a Brit, so she's half Brit, as I like to say. She has a great long list of questions for you. She wants to know, what non-music project would you like to work on?
Non-music?
Yeah, non-music.
Non-music. I would probably go and become a scuba diver instructor.
Scuba instructor? Do you scuba?
I do, yeah, and I love it. I mean, it's like the most relaxing and amazing thing I've ever done. So, you know, I'd be into that. I'd like to get involved with some nature, you know, and just do a bit of snowboarding and a bit of scuba diving.
One of our staff members is actually a scuba instructor, and anytime, you know, it's been a rough week, he comes back on Monday from a week of classes or weekend of classes, and he always seems better off. So,
yeah, there you go. Vacation right there.
Shawnee also wants to know, what are your top five desert island records and why?
Oh, wow. Bloody hell. my iTunes list now. Let's see. Well, I would suppose I would take the Police,
mm-hmm.
like Outlandus D'Amour or something like that.
Perfect.
Just always, you know, love the Police. Huge influence. Just like Stuart Copeland, the drummer in the Police, has been a huge influence on me.
One of my top three drummers of all time. He's just a lot of fun to watch drumming.
Yeah, amazing. So, and I really remember enjoying that when I was a kid, like so much. So, you know, whenever I hear that, it just kind of takes me back through years of memories and experiences, I suppose. Recently, I've just got into a bit of like Deep Purple.
Ooh.
Been going old school.
Uh-huh. No.
Just loving that at the moment. The album Machine Head.
Uh huh.
Yeah, just classic riffs, and so obvious how many bands Deep Purple have influenced over the years. So I'm kind of enjoying that. I'd have to take the first Rage Against the Machine album. Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
Because that is still such a timeless piece of work. And we were just talking about it the other day, and it's nearly 20 years old, album.
That makes me feel old. And you and I are the same age.
When you listen to that, you're like, it still sounds brand new.
Yeah.
Production, everything. So, that's genius. Let's see. I'll probably take some Beatles.
But which album for the Beatles do you choose? I mean, because it's not like, you know, you can really say, well, Rubber Soul is just better than Sgt. Pepper, you know?
I'm quite into Magical Mystery Tour.
Ooh.
Just because it's so weird.
It is the very psychedelic album.
Yeah, that's, you know, they really just went off on one, you know? But it's great, you know? And musically, it's great, but...
You can tell that's the album they made just for fun, too.
Sorry?
To me, that was always the album they made just for themselves, you know, just for a fun album. Hey, let's just try this.
Yeah, totally. But I love that album. It's, you know, like Iron War and stuff. It's just, you know, an amazing, amazing song. But they kind of really went there with the weird experimental production techniques, you know, for like on a, like a bore track or whatever they were using back in those days. So they did pretty well. But yeah, so I'll probably take some Beatles and what's that, Four?
I think that's Four, right?
Let's see what I'd. What else am I listening to? It's got to be classics, really, isn't it? I might take some Nine Inch Nails.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a big Nine Inch Nails fan.
Good.
And
Downward Spiral, or do you go to the earlier one?
I suppose if I'm going to be stuck on a desert island, I'll probably take Fragile, because it's a double album.
And that was a...
Rise of One, there.
When the Fragile came out, you know, I don't know if this is the case for you, but for me, it took me several listens to really just absorb it because there was just so much going on with it.
What, with Nails?
Yeah, with the Fragile, yeah.
Yeah, I totally love it. I just, you know, I love the, you know, the kind of, all, you know, the different influences in the music. I like the darkness of the industrial side. I, you know, I'm just a big fan of what Trent Reznor does, really, and seen them many times as well. So it's, yeah, I'll probably take that, so... That's five reasonable choices right there.
All right, here's another listener's question. Her name is Doran. I know she's seen you at least twice. She wants to know, what are your top three drummers of all time and why?
Top three. Well, Stuart Copeland.
Like, yeah, aforementioned, right?
Just love his style of playing. And like you said, he's so fun to watch. But he has like influenced so many drummers over the years. But like really obviously influenced a lot of contemporary drummers that I was getting into. Like, I used to like Primus when I was young.
And yeah.
People like, you know, Tim Herb Alexander and Brain Mantia, who started playing for Primus, was so very obviously influenced by Stuart Copeland, and I really loved his playing. So, yeah, Stuart Copeland's in there. Dave Grohl's definitely in there.
Because
I was, you know, massive Nirvana fan when I was 12.
And he's like an
13, you know, teenage years, and still, you know, I'm still so happy that he's so active playing the drums in so many different projects, because he's still an amazing player and kind of getting better.
I like those two are on your list, because with Stewie Copeland definitely having that jazz influence in his style, but still, you know, just seeing how much fun he gets into every drum set. But, you know, Dave Grohl is a perfect animal behind the drum kit, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Total Muppet behind there, but you're not losing anything. He looks like a wild man out of control, but yet everything is just so perfect and so dead on.
Yeah, and he's like, his top guy is probably John Bonham.
Yes, easily.
Love, but, you know, Dave, I think, has taken it to, you know, taken a lot of influence from Bonham, but, you know, honed it down into his own style and, yeah, something that really appeals to me. So, yeah, definitely him and, you know, Buddy Rich, you know, the jazz great, because you only have to listen to like two bars of anything he does, and that's like enough material to influence you for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Much in there. So he's not really someone that I try and play like, but
right.
You know, when I hear it, it's just an endless wealth of educational material.
Well, I think that's what makes you a great drummer. I mean, great drummers, or any musicians for that matter, don't try to play like anybody. They might take little bits of style, but then, you know, you definitely have your own signature sound and performance style.
Thank you very much.
Oh, no, thank you. Here's another one of Doran's questions. Here in Charlottesville, we're all kind of like you in the sense that we're all foodies. She has a very tongue-in-cheek question. What has more cheese, Matt's lyrics or Brie? Explain.
Well, Brie. I've got to go with the Brie, haven't I?
Yeah, I guess you did. She kind of put you in a corner with that question.
Yeah, I've got to go with the Brie, but, you know, it's not the cheesiest cheese in the world. Not bloody stinking Bishop. I mean, that's rank. Really sick. But, I'm a big cheese fan. I love cheese. I love a nice, strong blue cheese. Love it. I can lose it on the cheese. I've got issues. I can go deep on the fondue.
So you like more cheese with a bit more, like, to me, blue cheese always has a bit of a, you know, tangy funk to it. You know, that's more your style?
Yeah, I like that mold.
Ah.
I'm kind of into, you know, I like a bit of that Swiss cheese, you know,
mm-hmm.
raclette.
Yeah.
Like that. And fondue, I spend a bit of time in the mountains skiing in Switzerland and just had fondue every day and just lost it on the cheese, but. Good stuff.
This ship is taking me far away, far away.
If you're joining us now, we're speaking with Dominic Howard, drummer for Muse, again in town Wednesday, October 27th at John Paul Jones Arena with Metric. Which Muse track do you wish you hadn't been released and why?
Well, not many. I mean, obviously, because we released them for a reason.
Right.
But, I don't know. Well, there's some, like, early demo that turned up on the internet that we, years ago, like, way before we signed, we made this demo.
Uh-huh.
We had a picture of a cat on the front, and it was a cassette tape, and we, for some reason, we sent it round to all loads of record companies. It was back in the day where you sent your demo to the label and hope they'd listen to it.
Yeah.
And I wish we never did that, because it was terrible. And recently, someone pulled one out and stuck it on eBay, and it kind of got out there. So there's these, like, really old songs of probably when we were, like, 17 or 18 out there, like, online. You can find them, unfortunately. So I suppose I wish we never sent that demo tape out in the first place.
And that's a weird thing, because, you know, as a fan of the band, you're curious, you know, what did they sound like when? But then also you have to remember that, okay, they were just artists trying out different things and playing with different sounds and how they sounded themselves and trying to find their own voices as musicians, and it's not really a true representation of what Muse is.
No, not at all. I mean, but we've always been like that, because we started so young.
Yeah.
We've always been doing exactly that, like constantly, you know, learning about music and evolving as we go along, and it's definitely the way we've treated every album, you know. Always wanted to change and move forward and discover more and not just get into like a groove and go with it, you know. We were always looking to expand our musical vocabulary, I suppose.
Are you one of the musicians that are always looking at like new technology and stuff that is constantly evolving, especially into, you know, percussion, even, you know, with synth drum kits and everything? Do those interest you in, like, maybe I could, you know, actually play a melody now on some of these synth drum kits that don't sound that 80s new wavy?
Yeah. I mean, current technology has always been, you know, really important to the band.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I mean, in the studio, you know, we've always liked to, you know, not just use a bunch of vintage gear, which is what a lot of people in studios like to do, just pull out all the 60s gear and pretend it sounds cool.
Right.
But we've always been, like, into, moving forward with technology. And, yeah, from a drumming point of view, I've been, like, recently incorporating more electronics into songs with programming and triggers and things like that on the drum kit. I've got a pretty cool electronic drum kit that I'm playing at the moment in the show that lights up.
Oh, wow.
Like three drums, and I play Undisclosed Desires on it. That sounds really, really cool. And, you know, like Matt as well with his guitars, he's always had custom guitars with that he's designed and come up with the concepts with lots of different effects built into the guitar, so you can do much more than just play the guitar or strum some chords, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, moving forward with technology has always been it's always important, yeah, definitely, because I think, you know, it's, you can get very creative with random new bits of technology as well, so they can kind of help the process of finishing songs, or, you know, just to help the creative process in some kind of way.
Who actually comes up with all the multimedia that goes into now the big elaborate concert experience? Because is it something that the three of you decide on, or is it somebody outside the band that helps develop these massive spectacles?
No, it's us and a kind of team of people. I mean, mm-hmm. Ultimately, most of the ideas are always coming from us, and we always work really, really closely with the whole production stage, the whole design set and production stage with all of our stage shows. And we have we've worked with a set designer who's great at, you know, conceptualizing ideas from listening to music and drawing pictures. And we have a kind of like a video team, which is a very old friend of ours that went to school with us, who now tours with us, and he and a couple of guys come up with a lot of visual content. So it's a team of people, but we're all very hands-on ourselves, always have been. It's the best way, because then you really, you know, you're really happy with what's going on with your show, and you want to kind of make sure it's representing how you feel or what you're thinking about or what's right for the song or the scenario. So we've always felt like we have to be in control of pretty much everything.
That's great to hear, because there's so many bands out there right now that are putting on, you know, big, lavish multimedia events for their concerts, but it just seems like it's not really part of them. But it's awesome to hear that the three of you are really in control of what's happening with the stage show. The show, of course, coming to John Paul Jones Arena with Metric Wednesday, October 27th. Dom Howard, I can't thank you enough for taking the time today. You're definitely going to be one of those guys that could say, wow, I got to interview this guy when, and now he's getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's definitely in your destiny, sir.
Nice one. Thank you very much. Well, it's a pleasure to talk.
Thank you, sir. Dominic Howard from Muse, thank you again.
Yeah, thank you. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.